Everybody say Jehovah Jireh. Now, I have taken a church vote here because we always have to vote every time we meet. In your life, has there ever been a time that you have had an opportunity for God to come through and he did not come through? Second question. How many times has God come through for you when you thought he was not going to come through? Taking a church vote. Can you go ahead and give the Lord a hand clap of praise for being Jehovah Jireh in your life? As we always have done, we have prayed, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we trespass against us. But lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou shalt prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointeth my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Everybody say, surely, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise in the house of God. When you were ever in a moment, I was looking for my people. I found them. Okay. You know, you're looking for people that you love and you know, and you're scanning the audience, and I went, oh, okay, there they are, and I can start. You look for people now, especially those people that you love. I am so grateful to just the Jandersons. Can we just give God a hand clap for them? They have just... Where are they? Come on out. Where are you? Come out. Where is Dean? Come on up here. Come on up here. Because we're going to give you... See, when you have a saint... Okay, now we have the board. Let's give it up for the board. Amen. Thank God for the board. Dean, there's Dean. So you're just stand right there. Just turn around. Okay. So I'm going to give you the Ron Harris, never been to Northern Pines experience of how I have gotten to know them. So they didn't know me. We saw each other. It's like the blind date, right? And so I have talked on the phone. He talks about how awesome his wife is. I mean, and I just get this picture of Northern Pines and their lives. And I look on the Northern Pines website. Oh, they're cool people. And then I saw them, and then I experienced all that they do and the time that they spend to get to know me and around. And it seemed as though they're the duck that above water, oh, Ron, how are you doing? Underneath. And they do that with every single registration, every single person, all of you as she goes through your names, as they work together as a team. I just want us to give them a standing ovation. Can we do that right now? Come on. Come on now. Woo! Yeah, 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 yeah. Come on, come on. Yeah, 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 yeah. And I just want to say thank you for loving me and loving my wife. And I tell you what, but he is relentless. I love him. Ron, we're praying for you. Can your wife come? I mean, he's awesome. I love that. And by the way, I want to let you know, I did pass that on. So God bless you guys. Give him another round of applause. You say thank you. This person is not here. My wife is not here, but this person is not here. His name is Keith Townsend. Keith is my brother from another mother. He's called yesterday to send his love to you. We're salt and pepper, if you get it now. You know what I'm saying? And so I just thank God for him. He called yesterday. He goes, "Hey man, how's it going?" You know how he talks. And I said, "It's going good." "Oh, that's great. That's great. That's great. That's great." And so he can't be here today, but I love him. I love him. Hey, I'm going to just take a right turn here. I'm going to tee up a video. And this video is going to be a really neat experience. And as I tee this video up, this experience can summarize and catapult simultaneously. Everybody say summarize. Summarize. Catapult.
And she has never and so, met her children hold, in 7 years. And she has never met her children in
hold on,
7 years.
Hold on.
She's never met them.
Okay. So this person, this lady, has not seen her children. But someone reached out to her from Maverick City Music. Okay. And they put together, of course, they're doing this. They have music that they put together. But then they started reuniting people. And so they took this mother who had been on drugs. They took her babies right at birth. And I want you to pick up what redemption looks like as you watch this video. Play away.
And she has never met her children in 7 years. She's never met them. She told me it was okay that I said that her children were taken away when they were born, and her mother flew in with kids today. So this is the first time that she's meeting her kids. Y'all make some noise for Jillian Howard.
Yes! Been taking care of the kids all this time, and so she takes them and brings them in, and this is the first time she's seen them. Wow. She's been in prison since they were born.
This is Jillian.
So, can we summarize all that we've been talking about? It's about redemption. This woman who lost her children. They were born, she went to jail. But as we look at our life, for those that are going to hell, it's an eternal jail. And as we begin to think about life and our life together, I wanted to show you, man, I see a lot of people sentenced, right? That's unfortunate. But I also see a lot of people free, and I'm one of those. How many of you heard of Paul Harvey? And so here is the rest of my story. I worked at the University of Arkansas with the Arkansas Razorbacks. How many Razorback fans we have up in here? Yeah. Nice. Very good. They're distinguishable. And so I left small Evangel University with my beautiful wife in our first year of marriage, having been repaired from being broken, being reconnected to my destiny and ministry. And I went to this place where they sang about a hog. I had no idea that I would meet some of the nicest, most passionate, most giving people I could ever have on earth. I went to work with Arkansas Athletes Outreach, which was an on-campus ministry at that time. And I went on a recruiting trip to visit, and Tom Muccio helped set that up. He hired my wife. My wife worked for Procter & Gamble. And that was kind of the deal. I think she was the better end of the deal. And so I really, really, really had no idea that what I was going to get into was going to change my life. That time at Evangel, I had total knee reconstruction. My mother had passed away. My brother had passed away of AIDS, all during that same compressed time. And my wife prayed me through not just the day that I spoke to you about, but all the other stuff. And then we moved to Arkansas. That time of travail and toughness, that time of tears and why, all kind of culminated when I stepped on the University of Arkansas campus and I had to work with athletes that came from all over the world with all kinds of issues. And it really kind of gave me kind of the impetus of understanding. I just spent 4 years of my life, my first job out of college, I just had been a repeat of what. Have you ever gone through something in your life and you feel like you've gone through it before, but then it's playing out for somebody else? That's called a testimony. Brad Fress, who is executive director, is a fine, fine man of God. And he gave me the bandwidth. And so we moved from having these, everybody had graduated prior. When I came, everybody had graduated, right? And we, in that 8-year span, grew to be one of the largest on-campus ministries in the U.S. with school assemblies, with outreaches, with missions trips, with basketball camps and all sports camps. And it was just amazing. And I got a chance to relive what I did in college. I was living that out on campus. So everything that I had done at University of Arkansas, I had already done before, because at a Christian school, we were all about outreach and all about ministry, and I sang in the choir, we traveled all over, and so the very same thing we did, so we took the Razorback athletes and we do Razorback Sundays, and we had a singing group, and we had a little core group of outreach, and we had pen pal programs and leadership stuff. It was a game changer to see some of these athletes that were non-believers get saved or reclaimed, move into full-time ministry. I just ran into Jay Thompson in Jonesboro. He's a cheerleader at the University of Arkansas, and now he's over the hospital of all the hospital works over there in Jonesboro. Phenomenal. We prayed with him through medical school. Next slide. Here's the deal. How many Cowboys fans we have here? One. Okay. How many Steeler fans do we have here? Yeah, three. Good. Steelers win. Anyway, so my son loves the Cowboys, and if you live in Northwest Arkansas, we don't have a pro team. We love the Cowboys, and Jerry Jones went to the University of Arkansas, and so he's got a lot of buildings in his name, so we love Jerry Jones. And so my son got a gift. He's got special needs, and someone gifted us a trip to go see the Cowboys, and it was a time the Cowboys won. So anyway, moving right along from there. But we have a great time together. That wife in the middle keeps it all together. I wanted to show you my family. So I know you guys have your families and you're here. I wanted to show you that my gifted mother, Sharon, and my father, Phil, and my given sister, and my niece, they look a little bit different, don't they? That woman right there, if you told her she didn't birth me, she would go down with you fighting. She has been a godsend to me. She stood in for my mother. She has been the backbone. She is praying for me right now as she would pray for her own children. And she told her children this. She said, "Move over. This is my given son, and he will have a place in our family." And when I got married, she sat in my mother's chair. When my kids were dedicated, baptized. And just recently, we just spent some time together. And I love those wonderful men and women of God that God has placed in my life. And in my extended family, if I had the larger family, you'd see a lot more salt in there, okay? But we're all grafted in, and God has been so gracious. And as Job went through things, as you go through things, there is another side. And so as he talk about next steps and family and life and rejoining what God has done, he says, rejoin my life. And one of the cool things that's happened for me, next slide, is speaking at TEDx. One of the highlights, you can follow, you can click on if you want to. One of the highlights of my life, we had TEDx Fayetteville, and that platform is probably the most scariest thing I've ever done, the most powerful thing I've ever done. And in that room is not a lot of Christian people, but the presence of God was so strong in that room. It was packed. And there were tears, and people were crying, and it wasn't that kind of event. But it was a highlight, bucket list in my life. Unleashed a level up after leaving the University of Arkansas and then working with a strong friend of mine. I've asked the question, so what do you do, Ron? What do you do? I've been asked that question. Speaking, training, strategy. Everybody say speaking.
Speaking.
Training. Strategy.
Strategy.
Some people discount Paul. Paul was a great strategist. He was a tremendous strategist. He didn't have all the modems that we used to find out where you were going to go, coordinates-wise. He had to follow the Holy Spirit. So I speak in churches, events, youth events, schools, school assemblies. We do mentoring, workforce development through a reading. We have the Great Gift Exchange that we're reaching about 4,000 kids this year in the U.S. and Honduras. I do crisis response, and I oversee all 400 churches globally in crisis response. And in my free time, we're cooking up some really cool things. I will have my own broadcasting studio in 2023. I'm really excited about that. It's coming right along really nicely. And God has given us a goal this year to reach 4,000 people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I am passionate about reaching people. And so we have a platform to be able to connect with you. So if you can take a picture of that. People have asked, how can I get in touch with you? You can get in touch with me. All the platforms are available. You can take a picture of that. So please feel free. I am available to speak. Would love to connect with you. Would love to have different conversations. I know I have some brothers and sisters I've asked. I said, please don't let this be the last time that we talk together. So if you want to take a picture, please, Facebook. You know, I use it as a one-way communication, which is like me to the rest of the world. I don't really interact very much, so that keeps me out of the weeds. So as we move on to Philippians, I begin to think about Romans, because Paul wrote Romans here in Rome, right? This kind of stuck in my brain. Do you find yourself like Paul? He says, I don't really understand myself. For I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. If I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. Everybody say, so. I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. How many of you ever heard the devil made me do it? Ooh. And I know that nothing good lies in me. That is in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. Next slide. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing it. It is sin living in me that does it. This conundrum that we have inside of us. And I've always got tripped up when I've read that in other versions. Like in the King James, I do if I don't want to do. And if I do, I don't want to do. And then I found myself listening to the Doobie Brothers doing that. And then if I could summarize and really strategically share with you my heart, I would ask you conceptually this question through the scripture. What are you hungry for? What are you hungry for? If I could open your brain, is it knowledge? Is it wisdom? Is it your job? What are you hungry for? If I was in a room of singles, I would ask them what they were hungry for. That may be a spouse. Ooh, you're not going into that biology. Come on. If I ask you in your career, what are you hungry? What are you what is the very essence of what drives you? What brings you to life? Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. And the Amplified, it says, but blessed, joyful, nourished by God's goodness are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Those who are actively seek right standing with God, for they will be completely satisfied. You will be completely satisfied if you leave Northern Pines hungrier for God's word, his presence. If you're hungry, he said it last night, he said to be filled with the Spirit. I'm just saying what the brother said. If we have a different appetite. As we looked at that video, I put it up front because we oftentimes look at people that are incarcerated as throwaways, but the question becomes, what is the value of a soul? In your family, your grandchildren, your children, they're extremely valuable. But other people, they have grandchildren and they have children and they're extremely valuable. And Jesus came to earth to redeem a soul, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Valuable. Value. So that no one would perish, but have everlasting life. I believe in miracles, but I'm going to tell you, miracles aren't the greatest thing. The greatest thing that we could ever have that allows heaven to stand is when one person comes to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Heaven throws a huge party when someone is lost and comes to a relationship with Jesus Christ. They move from darkness to light. Some people don't even know how to have an appetite. And I love the analogy that Pastor Trent used of the cat sticking his face in the food. And I think we're just like that in America. We just stick our face in America. And God is saying, can we lift up our eyes and we see a lost world? We're here at Northern Pines, but we're leaving here going into the rest of the world with their other grandparents and their other children and their other great-grandchildren, and they're lost. Paul trying to get this across to the Philippians as our anchor verse. He loves them because he's wanting to show them how valuable they are. Our anchor verse, read it out loud with me. And I am certain that God, who began a good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day of Jesus. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Paul is showing them overarchingly value. He uses words like love to value them. He uses words like long Before I saw you, I loved you. Value. People know when you go through the drive-thru at McDonald's if you love them or not. Through your facial expression. Can you get the order right? Yeah, I go to the church down the street. Oh. Mm-hmm. You're on the road and someone passes you by and you flip them the middle finger in Jesus' name. Who does that? Or we go through life picking and choosing, condemning and judging based on how people look and their status. Paul says, I want you Roman soldiers not to look at this system of political nationalism that provides a caste system in the world and tries to corner people, and we want to put them in a position in which we can put the strong arm to them and squeeze the living taxes out of them. In our quick recap, Paul's life is about sacrifice and bringing joy through sharing the gospel. In our next slide, Paul's life was successful in God's eyes in introducing the Philippians to a true and living God. Point number three. Your personal walk with Christ must be about being a true disciple, which will be about abiding in Jesus. Everybody say abiding. I asked you what abiding meant, and some of you gave tremendous definitions of what abiding meant. And so Paul didn't use abiding, but he uses words like affection, and that you would grow in the knowledge and in the understanding. That you would grow in the knowledge and the understanding. And so I got to these verses in Philippians chapter 12 and through 14, and I could not go any further. This is the last time I'm going to be with you. And so if I could kind of put a dovetail, like Pastor said, and we could go through the next chapter next year. Paul says this, I want you to know, comma. That means he wants them to know something, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped me spread the good news. Next slide. For everything here, including the whole guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. Because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and speak bold God's message without fear. Leaving Northern Pines, the thing that will plague you the most is if you're not in your holy huddle, come on somebody, in your circle of concern, and we leave here and we have the rest of the world that needs Jesus. Paul said, hey, I want you to know something, that it's a joy to be in chains, and I wanted to give you an update from Fox News. Mm-hmm. That was a good place to go, mm-hmm. He said, I want you to get some insight on the inside story of what's happening in my cell block. I want to tell you that there's restoration happening, like that mother being reunited. There are people that are being reunited with good things in their life. There's fruit that's bearing. And in the instance of what's going on in our life, I want you to be joyful as I go through my tribulation. For everyone here, he says, including the whole palace guard, And I am in chains because he is, it's like a badge of honor. He is so excited that he's in chains. Like, listen, I've done something to make the devil mad. I'm coming to take over the cell block. They thought they put me in jail. What they did was giving me a concentrated opportunity to really spend some discipleship time with some people that lead Jesus the most. I do know that for me and you both, that it's great to have all of nice things, but Paul says, don't forget those that are in prison. Watch this. Some of those people are in prison sitting next to you in your life. So Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. In the Young's Little Translation, in Mark chapter 10, verse 44 and 45, and it says, and whoever of you may will come become first, he shall be a servant of all, or even the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister. You see, oftentimes you came here to be ministered to. That's a part of it. But you know why you're being ministered to? Watch this. To minister to somebody else. I mean, you're being refreshed so you can go out on the rock pile. I call it a rock pile. Where you going out on the rock pile and you're going to take that sledgehammer. Yeah, we're going to work. And we're going to do some great. See, great things happen. Came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life as a ransom for many. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30 says in the Amplified, for the fruit of the consistently righteous tree of life, which is a producing life, for he or she is wise, captures and wins souls for God. He gathers them for eternity. This life that we live on earth, we're here for two reasons. Write this down in your notes. To understand who you are as a person with your gifts and talents yourself, and to make a difference, number two, in the life of someone else. That's why we're here. It's pretty simple, isn't it? You may have a career, you may have aspirations, you may want to do great things, you may want to own this, you may want to go do that, but if you lose those two things, life becomes empty, it becomes interrupted with things that continually bind you and drain you. And you find yourself over and over again needing to take a vacation from a vacation. But when Jesus becomes the center point of your life, it is exciting as you wake up. His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness to all generations. Point number one, Paul says, everything that happens in our life will help to advance the gospel. They help advance the gospel. You know, everything that happens in your life is helping you advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. For I want you to know that, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me has helped me spread the good news. Everything that's happening in your life, things that have happened in your life, things that have interrupted your circle, things that have come against you, even successes that have happened in your life, it's all because you were a person that accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And God's going to leverage. Everybody say leverage that. Leverage. They got a song called Level Up. Come on now. Y'all don't know that song. Okay. He's going to level up your life. And he's giving you this great platform. He's giving you great wisdom. He's giving you great resources. And when you begin to stand up and speak, you have to share who gave you all of that. That's a great place to say amen. Some of you ladies are so amazing. You're so smart. I believe that these next few years, listen to me, are the year of the woman. I believe that God has John 4 moments for you to come out. Come and say, come on out. Come on out. To be everything God's called you to be. To not sit back and wait, but to be the person that's going to be on the front edge. God's given you prophetic dreams. And it's time for you to take those next steps. Men, as the bedrock of their families, these next few years will give you the opportunity to demonstrate the loyalty and leadership in the leading of your families. It's your time and it's your turn. Everything that is happening in your life is all about advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul uses it here as a badge of honor. He says, hey, listen, I let everybody know while I'm here. I'm just not going to be in the business meeting and sit back and just wait and ask, so what's your purpose in life? Well, I just want to go do good things. Really? Who does that? The story of this gentleman that came to evangel, he spoke at graduation. He got my attention as he began to tell this story at our commemorative time of graduation. He said, I came from India. And as I came from India, God had spoken to me before. He said, I will take care of you. I will supply. He had no money. He's in Bangladesh. He's poor. He has no way to get to school, but he has a dream of becoming a doctor. And God said, if you just follow what I'm telling you, I will make sure that you not only become a doctor, but I will do great things through you. So he got the call as he put in his admissions to evangel, said, come on down, but didn't have a way to get there. Someone said, we have just something. God just spoke to me and says, do you have somebody in your orphanage or in your mission that needs a scholarship to come to evangel? I'm going to fly him there. He's like, oh, hey, that's me. And so he flies and the Lord said, I need you, when you get to evangel, to walk in line up to financial registration. Didn't know anybody. He gets there. He's in college. He's admitted, but doesn't have any money. Before he steps up, somebody taps him on the shoulder and said, well, the Lord spoke to me and told me to pay your bill. He goes through evangel, debt-free. Semester by semester, things happen, scholarships. He's working two jobs. He's doing everything he can with everything he has at the highest level with the right attitude, with the right information. Come on, somebody. So he gets ready to go to medical school and ding, you have been selected to be one of the great fellows. Da, 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 da. You have a free entrance into his practice. Well, you graduated number one in your class, and he has just had the favor of God on him, and he's done with graduate school, has zero debt. He's gone through all of his practices, and now he's like, okay, I'm here. And then one night he went to sleep. And in the middle of his sleep, God gives him this discombobulated formula. He gets up and he writes it down, but it doesn't make sense. And so with his colleagues, he's going around to his mentor teachers and he's beginning to say, what is going on? I can't decipher this formula and nobody understands it. This is, it doesn't make sense. This doesn't exist. As he began to look deeper and deeper, God brought a problem. This was actually an answer to the cure for a disease. He actually had the antidote that cured the disease. Well, all of a sudden things blew up then. He's in the newspapers, on all the periodicals medically. And guess what he does? They invite him to come to speak. And he steps up there and he is traveling all over the world. And they want to know, what's your success? What made you successful? He said, I want to tell you, The Lord Jesus Christ came into my life and changed me. He gave me a word and he began to share his testimony from place to place to place. It's about making Jesus famous. He's talking about all the dirty days and all the jobs he had, but how faithful he stayed to the voice of God and the purpose of God in his life. Things that are happening in your life right now is God's preparing you. It may be dirty. It may be on the back. You may be like David. You may be out in the wilderness. You may be out there dealing with cattle, maybe an insignificant job. You may be a grandparent looking for direction. I'm not sure what to do here. You may have just retired. You may be a person here that's looking for a job or looking for significance, but your current situation is setting you up, because if the Lord is your shepherd, then you shall not want. You see, God is using you today because he needs someone. Scripture says that God is, he's searching throughout the earth that he may show, find someone that he may show himself strong through. Is that you? I think it is. Number two, your personal situation is known to others, is a witness to others for the cause of Christ. For everyone here, including the whole palace guards, know that I am in chains because of Christ. What's your source? Man, I do a lot of leadership stuff, and I travel, and I'm starting to speak in businesses now, and it's really, really cool to be able to do that. And people take principles, and they turn them into, you know, biblical things, and they turn them into principles and all that stuff. And that's cool, but I'll throw a scripture in there once in a while. So, hey, where'd you get that from? That's a really cool quote. Who's Jesus? Everybody go, gotcha. And it's palatable. God opens doors. I promise you, God is waiting for you in your personal situation, in your job, where you are creatively in your life. You're thinking, I don't think my life matters. I'm telling you, this is a setup. Everybody say setup. Some of you have had some setbacks. Watch this formula. Setups, setbacks are setups for comebacks. Woo! Setbacks are setups for comebacks. Say that with me. Setbacks are setups for comebacks. Say it out loud again. Say, setback. Some people thought that when Paul's situation, that was a setback. But he's being set up for a comeback. You see, Satan thought when he killed Jesus, that was a setback. But that was a setup for what? A comeback. And so you in your situation right now, come on, talk to me. You are in a situation right now. It may be a setback, but it is a setup for a comeback. You see, you are not retired. What you're doing is going back and getting refueled. Because when you come back out there, Grandma, ooh, you smoking. Yeah, y'all thought Grandma didn't have no oomph. Oh, yeah. She bringing Holy Ghost smoke. Yeah. She came to last night's session, got filled with the Holy Ghost, and pa-dow. Everybody say pa-dow. So that's another cool thing right there. So if you go home, you say, hey, you know what? It was like pa-dow. They're going, your kid going, ooh, Grandma. But you are in a situation here at Northern Pines. This is a setup. You have been set up for 49 years because when 50 get here, ooh, it's on like Donkey Kong. That's one of those Nintendo deals. Point number three. Your personal situation is giving others confidence and boldness to share your testimony unapologetically. Paul says, and because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak of God's message without fear. Stop. Everybody say stop. Stop apologizing for being who you are. I'm going to go down a list right here because I'm speaking. Stop apologizing for being smart. Start apologizing for being a woman. Start apologizing for being white. Come on, somebody. Stop apologizing for being a Christian. Stop apologizing. Come on. We need to stop apologizing and take the advancement. I know all the training. I've heard it. I hear it. I get it. But Jesus didn't have training. He was a trainer. And we need to take some training from the trainer. And when you show up and your testimony is, it is what it is. And you just let it sit just like that. And sometimes we just need to let things just sit for a while. You go to my grandma's house, she said, come sit down for a minute. Why are you moving around so much? Come on, grandma. And you know, she says, sit down, just let talk to grandma for a minute. And she can say, talk to grandma. Yeah, praise the Lord. Tell me what's going on. And see, when you're talking to grandma, she is looking for some anchors in your speech. She and grandpa, they love all the cool stuff. But they're not going to say nothing. They'll say something like my grandma did. Well, okay. That means, well. But then when you start talking to grandma and she starts hearing some anchor words like commitment, work ethic, Jesus, fasting, praying, soul winning. Grandma goes, well, praise the Lord, dear. Come on. You want something to eat? Come on now. We are looking and we are starving. America in the world is, everybody say starving. Starving for someone to be unapologetically Christian. That's a great place to say praise the Lord. It's you, though. We need for you. I mean, I go do this all the time. And I'm all of us that are preaching. We're trying to persuade you that you are enough. Paul is saying, oh, I don't have any really cool PowerPoint translations and scriptures and all that. All I have is my testimony. I'm in jail. I don't even have a Bible. Matter of fact, I'm writing this letter to you guys. This is all I have is a pen and a pencil. And Timothy and I, we're sitting here talking about what's going to happen around here. And sometimes you're going to be backed into a corner. And you're going to have to come out swinging. And for a couple of days, you're going to be unpopular. And that's okay. You may not get the business deal. You may not fit in. Matter of fact, you're not supposed to anyway. God is looking for someone from Northern Pines to take him seriously. That 50 years of being at Northern Pines means a whole lot more than just gathering to talk about 50 years. But here's what we're going to talk about in 50 years. All the people that you, come on somebody, drug here, come on now, that you won to Christ. You know about that drug. Come on somebody. They're here representing you. They're saying, if it hadn't been for you in the last 364 days, I remember when you shared your testimony with me and I wanted to find a place that you were talking about that you rested and reflected and rejuvenated and you got restored in that salvation thing, whatever that is. Can I get that there too? But there's times to go to church. There's times for discipleship in between Northern Pines. Come on, somebody. There's things you need to do to get yourself right so that when you come here at Northern Pines next year, you're going to be so full of the Holy Spirit, you're going to win people to Christ yourself without the speaker speaking. Come on, somebody. That's a great place to say amen. The time is coming that your Northern Pine experience
will have to be translated in part to where you live, to your home, to your marriage, to your personal walk with Jesus Christ, to your business deals. I'm right now speaking life over business deals and businesses that are going to start, and for people that are going to be courageous, and some grandparents are going to think, I got an idea, and they're going to share it with a younger person, and they're going to connect together generationally, and there's going to be some wealth created up in here. Can you say amen? It's time for Christians to generate income for the kingdom of God. So when we speak in the business meeting about things that need to be done, we see a young person walk through the back and say, oh, I got that. Come on, somebody. Somebody say, hey, because of where I am in my life, I'm going to stand up as a young couple and say, we're going to commit to scholarships for other couples because we want to see the next generation of this. We don't have much. All we got is $25 a month. Come on now. For that grandma, say, oh, you know I got my last little mite there, Ron. Don't stop taking my last little mite. But, you know, unapologetically, for this to continue, we're going to have to be unapologetic about investment in people, in your children, in your grandchildren, in your local church. Come on, somebody. When you get back home, here's one thing I want you to do. Unapologetically, when you get home, this could be self-serving, but he never said anything to me or they. Take your pastor out to lunch and tell him unapologetically your testimony. That's number one. And number two, tell him and her what you're going to do with it. And number three, keep in touch with them. Not just about good things, but let's have some traction on what Jesus is doing. Come on, somebody, what he's delivering you from. And what you're doing as a result of that. I can tell you this. The Lord is at work doing some supernatural things. And there's a world out there that needs to hear your unapologetic. It may seem twisted or weird, but it is stationed prophetically to change people's lives. That's number one. Number two, your testimony does not just meet people, like if you're a person and you were freed from an addiction, it doesn't mean that you can just minister to people that are addicted. That means you can minister to anybody. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. You know, I told one lady told me yesterday, I really appreciate her. She said, you know, some people have a road to Emmaus and some people have a road to Damascus. In other words, it may not be the kind of testimony that really rings loud, but your sweet little old testimony, come on, grandma, that sweet testimony you had and you was with a person. I have heard, listen to this, I have heard more sweet, honest, general testimonies of people just coming to know Jesus. They just met him. It was not a big grandioso thing, but you need to be unapologetic about that. Thank God for your grandparents. Thank God for your parents. Thank God for the keeping power in your life. Thank God that you don't have to hide unapologetically anymore. You're going to leave Northern Pines with some power. And you're going to say, you know what? One day I had a need for Jesus. And you need him too. Come on. Come on. Here's why. We need Jesus. As I was looking today, this is a great place to point this. How many people depart from this life to a Christless eternity before reading the article that I read? They said 53, this is 2016, so it's dated, to 53.3 million people die each year. 151,600 people die each day. 6,316 people die each hour. 105 people die each minute. Another group of people said it was like 12 jumbo jet airplanes that would crash each day that would die not knowing Jesus. If we had 12 jumbo jets that crashed in America, we would look up and say the sky is falling. But what we're saying is that there are people today that are dying. We make choices in how we live and what we do. You'll make choices. The eye-popping choices that came out of psychology today said this. We make 35,000 choices per day. Assuming that most people sleep around 7 hours per day, roughly that's 2,000 decisions per hour or one decision per every 2 seconds. What are we thinking about? And I'm all about great times. I'm all about times of refreshing. I have fun. My wife says I'm way too driven. I work too much. I get that. But we're getting close to the end of time. Time is winding up. And I've made a deeper commitment. Jude chapter 23 out of the New Living Bible says this: save some by snatching them from the fire of the very flames of hell itself. As far as others, help them find the Lord by being kind to them and being careful that you yourselves aren't be pulled along into their sins. Hate every trace of their sin while being merciful to them as sinners. That is powerful. People have said, well, Jesus went and hung out. Jesus never hung out. Jesus was on purpose. Everybody say on purpose. Don't listen to me. Do not get into causes and relationships just for service purposes or to hang out and be a friend. You need to be offensive in what you're doing, that everything you do is about bringing glory to God and how you do it in such a way that people will provoke the God in you to come out. Too many Christians today are struggling because they apologize for everything and they dilute their witness. But Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, he says, and he said to them, go to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There's a value. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe. I say all things that I have commanded you. And lo, that means I'll be with you always, even until the end of the age. Amen. So be it. How do we do that? Matthew 6:33 says this, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Everybody say all these things. All these things shall be added unto you. Listen, God is going to add things that are going to blow your mind. This week, my mind has been blown. I've walked with some people. I've talked. My mind has been blown. The way I got here was amazing. This little black boy from St. Petersburg, Florida, who never thought it would be anything, who his third grade teacher told him that he would never amount to a thing because I was so bad and broken. And now here I am. Hey. Oh, don't panicate now. Give it a prayer. Come on, give it up. Give the Lord praise. Now go ahead, give the Lord praise. And Pastor Trent is here, and Pastor John is here, and they're saying that, and I'm saying that for them. Hey. So let me crystallize this, if I could, if you don't mind. If we had a strategy, it's this. Next slide. This is a critical slide. Take a picture of this slide. Boom. It is every believer sent by Jesus with the cross to the culture in the community with a missional living component. In other words, God has dropped you where you are. He has parachuted you where your family is. I'm not saying that you weren't brought to this world by a stork, but I'm just saying. all of my time with you today is strategically placed and galvanized in this picture. It is with the cross of Jesus, you personally, with your changed life, with a verbal witness to a culture that is anti-Christ, that you personally have the power to be a witness in the community that he has placed you in. And he's called you to be a missionary. And yes, you could be a missionary to your own family. And to be honest with you, most religions will tell you that when you come and they process you, they will process you within your family first. Most of the most successful cults, they will sit down with you and they'll work about 100 people within your family radius. Why aren't we doing that? Come on. The way to get the church to grow in Naples is this. Just start praying for your own family. Because then you didn't know that the cousin was the brother and the uncle and the friend. And then the friend was the nephew and the step nephew of the brother who had a cousin named Bill. And Bill knows everybody. But it's God's kingdom purposes for you to be a part of something that's supernatural. T. Temple said this. God's kingdom is an upside down kingdom based on principles of healing the untouchable, doing the unreasonable, inviting the undesirable, and thinking the unimaginable. It is you personally that God has placed you in such a time as your Esther moment. Some of you right now, you are positioned for a miracle. Listen to me. Age-wise, you have the age right now that you have the wisdom, insight, understanding, and revelation to change the world. You, your words. Jesus even was so gracious enough to send us John chapter 14, 12. He said, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do greater things. Wow. He will do greater things. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Whatever happens when I leave here. Whatever happens. I don't know what's going to happen. Well, when I step up, you know, pastor's going to pick it up from me. But whatever happens from here, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is an admonition. Then, whether I come to see you or only hear about you in my absence, Paul says, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. That if I saw you on the street, come on now. Hey, if you see a brother, honk, say hi, you know, throw him a peace sign. If you see me out there on the street, come on. And I leave this thing with you. And I'm going to pray over you as I depart. The one thing that we're going to have to do is we're going to have to think bigger. And we're going to have to dream bigger. In other words, you personally are undermining your own success. I'm too old. I'm too. Your voice is a generational voice. For the message of the gospel is generational. As I leave here today, I want you to put your dream of what God has placed inside of you in the forefront of your mind right now. I want to pray over you. I'm going to pray over that dream. I'm going to pray over, as the band comes, the hopes, your effectiveness, the strategy that he's going to give you, the peace and the power and the anointing that should rest on you today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for every single person here. Over their body, over their mind, over their spirit, over their emotions, over their actions, over their reactions, Lord, over their family for generations. I ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, may there be a sense of uprising inside of them that would move them from Northern Pines in year 49. That when year 50 comes, that deep breath that they have taken will have eclipsed time so quickly. I pray over hopes and dreams. Lord, I thank you so much that you have your hand on them. You want to bless every single person here. Hold your hands up, if you don't mind, with your palms open. Your hopes and dreams are right here. A visible evidence that God will take. He said, you know, cast all your cares on me, for I care for you. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Your biggest dream, and which you can't do yourself, is God's beginning. And I just pray a blessing. Lord, supersize their hopes and dreams. Bless them beyond measure. And may the grace of God, may the love of Christ, and may the blood of Christ from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet both keep you safe and fuel you with personal strength and vitality from this day forward. In Jesus' name.